I was born here in Charleston over in South Park to be specific, January 27, 1929.
And how did you come to Bloomington?
Well, I had quit school, I had quit school at the age of 16. It kind of helped me out the door a little bit. My dad told me when I quit, he says, well, you'll have to give me 1 year on the farm if you're going to quit school before you can go to public school, which I did. And then a year later, I went from, there was three or four other people in the community working at Charleston then, which was located over in the Capitol Building in Taylor. And so they told me there was an opening over there. I went over and went to work.
So what year was that?
1946, February 1st.
What work were you doing on the farm for the year?
We'd just growing vegetables and taking care of the animals. One of the farmers. My dad worked at the glass plant in Tennessee, City, but basically we were farmers and produce as well as chickens and hogs and cattle.
But farm work wasn't for you?
Well, I didn't own the farm, and it was Dad's, and it wasn't a big enough year-round farm for year-round work. So, but that was his stipulation, and I gladly took him up on it.
So why did you settle on broom making?
Well, just the fact that I heard there was an opening over there, I would have went for any job. But these boys told me, says, hey, we got an opening over at the broom shop, you know, go for a check on it. And I went in. The boss at the time, he says, well, a job I got open. He says, I'm supposed to have an experienced guy come in for that in a few days. He says, you can go for him. His brother was operating on the machine then. I went up there and watched him a little bit and told him what his brother, what the boss had said. And he said, well, here, go back here to this other machine, which is just identical to his. And he showed me how to do it. And and went on back to his job. So I went ahead and worked on the machine, served a few rooms for an hour or so. And after his brother, the boss, came up, and I said, hey, Mike showed me how to do this job, and I've been doing a little bit of it. And I said, you want me to continue to work? You want me to refund me when you need me? He says, you just work, stay right there. Well, I did. And that was, 7 years ago.
So you just picked it up like that, or did it take a while to?
Well, it takes a while to get up to your speed. Sewing rooms, which I did, was piecework as well as the sewing the rooms on the hand was piecework. You only got paid for each room you put on the floor. If you stopped to get a soft drink or take a snack or something, you didn't get paid. No, you had no guarantee. It's just whatever you. Your piecework count a day. First week, I worked 4 days, $12.60. And I was proud of it.
Yeah. And then there must have been something about it that...
Well, I tried to get out of it a lot of times. things would get down to where we were working 2.5-3 days a week sometimes during the summer. So I went out and put applications, but when we were down low like that, so was the rest of the valley. It wasn't just us. So I never was fortunate enough to find another job. So see, if I made the day's work at the shop, making rooms, I was
there. So how many people were working it?
There was about 18 or 20 of us at that time. We made 300 dozen rooms a week.
Time when we were running good and strong,
I would throw out 50 dozen brooms a day on the sewing machine. Separating the straw, we bought it in raw form, went through in the fields then, and sorted it, separated, graded it, and all that. And same thing with finishing brooms. There was two or three people painting handles and trimming the brooms and cutting the ends off and bundling them up and things like that. So, and the little fella had his own job to do. Some of them maybe had two or three jobs to do. But in my case, I had the one.
At that time, where were you getting your straw from?
Mostly Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado. We were big enough then, we'd buy a boxcar load at a time. The same thing with handles, we'd buy a boxcar load or a truck or trailer load, 40,000 handles at a price. Wind straw would run anywhere from 38 to 44,000 pounds at a purchase. I just ordered yesterday, you know, this morning, I ordered 500 handles, and I think about 500 or 600 pounds of straw. And, you know, it's just a different world. As far as booms are concerned.
Where would you sell? Were you just selling in the state, or?
No, we sold quite widely from Chicago, New York, New Jersey, as well as Ohio and Kentucky, Virginia, North and South Carolina. But everything's changed so much. And the biggest change of it is really, I think, is the freight. If you ship anything, make your brooms and ship them out, the freight company charges you almost as much for shipping them as what you get for the product, furnishing the straw and labor to make it.
Mm-hmm. And were you always making them the same style, or has the style changed?
Well, the style hasn't changed. We made slightly different styles, but the style you see right here now is 99% of what we made in the heydays.
That's a good broom pun.
Well, we also make the little toy brooms and the horse brooms, yeah. And it's obsolete now. You can't sweep a car out. It's got a cleaner on the door. You have to have a vacuum cleaner. You can't sweep it out. Maybe pick up truck you can.
Well, you need it for something.
Well, yeah, I still sell a few of them, but they're mostly around the industrial places, like the phone company or places like that. They have one in their truck as a tool. Suddenly, I'm sure carries one to, you know, get snow, dust, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Off a small and handy and ready to go.
I needed one the other day because someone threw a rock through my window.
Yeah.
And there was glass all over my counter, and my mom said, well, don't you have a hand broom?
Yeah.
I needed one. What makes a good broom? Do you see other brooms and you can tell that it's not a good broom?
Well, yes, it's you buy your straw in grades, and of course, it's not all broom corn. A lot of them are made with other fibers, and a lot of times they'll make number three fiber, and I've been experiencing a little bit of that today in a broom I put up on the table. It wasn't, it was the only bundle out of was in the veil. And it wasn't too awful bad, but it's got some sprinkles of some bad stuff through it. It's overripe or whatever it's doing. It doesn't have the flexibility. And yes, I, of course, any store I go into, I look to see what bean they got in their life. If they've got a bean in their life, then of course I grade it. I was going to mention, you know, store brand, but I really shouldn't do that.
Well, so, you know, a lot of brooms have the synthetic fibers or something. Do you think that doesn't sleep as well?
Oh, no, it doesn't sleep nearly as well. It's nice looking. It has the appeal of the looks. And there's a lot of them sold, but it doesn't have the sleeping quality. And it's the amount of straw, a lot of it, that the size of the bulk size of the broom with the straw, if you get too little a bit of straw, it doesn't have the sleep. Well, naturally, but the more straw you have in it, the better it sleeps. You have that many more little bristles touching the floor.
Yeah.
Do you need a name that you knew when you first said it? There's one broom that's still living around here. Do you know any? I have one that's 99 years old. He's over in Lake Branch and lived over there, and I worked side by side for 40 years before I moved out here. And I worked in some after a few years after I was out here. But he finally gave up again. He keeps telling me every time I see him he'd love to make rooms.
Really?
He didn't know how to. I even took him in machine like that one over there. That's the job he always did. I took him in machine, set it up on his back porch for years, and hauled him the broom straw and got my brooms back that he made. He did that one step of the broom. And we worked that way for years. Well, he gave up the ghost of work in the making room. If you're around long enough, you'd hear a lot of those things that you never heard.
So all the equipment, well, maybe you could just walk me through. We saw you do it, but maybe you could just walk me through the process.
Well, the broom winder is where your broom starts. It chucks a handle into a drill chuck type of thing. And all it does is turn the handle at your demand as you lace the handfuls of straw onto the handle. It has a wire feeding through it, with tension on the wire to bind the straw good and tight. And you have 7 different handfuls of straw to apply to that handle for each broom. And once you get it down there, it moves on to the sewing machine. You're making the broom basically in a kind of a round form. And the sewing machine, it has a big vise on it, so you press the brooms out flat and then wrap a string around it a couple of times and use the excess of string where you've wrapped around it for the machine to lace it back and forward through the broom, which is your sewing process. And as a rule, you put 5 bands of the sewing. There's occasionally you only put 4, occasionally you put 6, but 99% of them. And in selling the broom, basically, if the person or company knows anything about brooms, they'll want a 5-tie broom. Well, that's just always been the best standard of the broom, and that's those bands that you see on there, those 5 ties. A lot of them used to make, they still do make 3- and 4-tie brooms, but a buyer that knows anything about it, that's his first thing. Is this a 5-tie that's their quality store.
Right, yeah. Are there stores that known still?
I don't think so. If you were selling Kroger or Walmart or someplace like that, maybe they would. And we used to sell Kroger. We used to sell Kroger warehouse out of Cincinnati as well as Kansas City. At the same time, as well as some other pretty big accounts.
So this equipment, especially the sewing machine, they probably don't make that anymore. So what happens?
The Chinese are making that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's an exact copy of the one you see me working on.
Uh-huh.
It's just been passed along and finally pawned off on the Chinese.
And do you know anything about where that machine was made? Or?
That machine was made in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. What do you do if you have a break for me to see the fridge?
Well, I was fortunate enough, or once again smart enough, that I accumulated a lot of parts and still have a lot of parts for it. Occasionally, something larger will break. I haven't broke anything that needs that. We have to have it welded back together. But in my 30 years here, I haven't had to do that. But you can't buy any parts for it.
So when did you take over the business? And when
1986 was when I took over here.
And was it just you at that point?
Was
it just you?
Well, yes, it was just me. I'd worked for them over there, and of course things were slowing down, and the people that owned it, they didn't know anything about it. I had run it for years as if I owned it, you know, buying, selling, making the drinks, and hiring and firing, and all of that. And in 1986, in the spring, I had a small heart attack. That scared them into quitting. Well, they didn't have nobody else that they could take over to manage it. And then what I was doing, so I was a mechanic for machinery as well as all that, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maintenance on the building, the roof and all. So they got kind of scared then and decided. They'd been wanting to quit for a few years. Back in 1972 or 1973, we had a guy that put a big down payment on the building over there, and the company was still operating. He was going to buy it and turn it into a restaurant, like they do some of the railroad stations and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to be called the Boom Shop Restaurant, with some of the machinery and rooms hanging around decorating the inside of it. And I was to take over then, but it didn't happen.
Okay.
So we went another 10 or 12 years for it. So they finally decided we better quit now while we can.
So then you bought it?
No, I didn't buy it.
Okay.
I bought some of the material, but I had my own machinery sitting back I'd bought years before.
Okay.
And I built this building for it. That purpose 10 years before. That was back when Rockefeller had this guy going by it for a restaurant. I built the building in because the guy told me, he says, "When I buy you, if you do a thing, you'll have 30 days to get out." So I jumped in, built my building, and got it ready and everything.
Okay.
Then it didn't happen for 10 years.
So you were ready.
Well, yes, I was ready.
So, what keeps you doing it now, after everything?
Well, the need for something to do, as well as the need for a little bit of ready cash to go out and eat on or something like that. So, there's no retirement from the boom industry. All you get is Social Security, and I never made enough money to draw the maximum on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've done all right for myself. You know, but working these extra 25, 30 years could brew that in.
All right, they're not gonna work it out. So how many brooms are you making, you know, say a week?
A week, probably 20 dozen.
Okay. So a lot.
Week, from mountain, 300 dozen. Well, it is, yeah. That's a good study place. Mm-hmm.
So you're basically out here all day?
Yeah.
You know, 9 to 5? Or
well, I'm here from 9 to 4.
Okay.
Except when I'm
gone.
My, you know, transporting my granddaughter to school.
Okay.
If she's not going to school, I'm here anyway.
When you're out here by yourself, do you listen to music or
oh
what?
Oh yeah, listen to WQBE all the time.
What's that?
It's country and western.
Okay.
That's what I grew up on. And gospel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. Dan, question.
What?
Your one's
gone.
Well, I guess, you know, have you taught anyone what's going to happen?
I've taught a lot of them to do it, but they didn't stick with it. Through the years, I've got dozens of people to actually make them. I mean, you've had 50 or 100, you know, who went through doing the odd jobs and things and stuff. But none of them ever, it's too hard to work. It's not really a hard work, you have to work constantly. They say, if you don't make a broom and throw it on the rack or the floor, you don't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get paid for what you do.
Right.
Just give it how many hours you have.
Yeah. Yeah. You know of other broom makers in the state or in the region?
There's no others in the state. I've heard there's a couple little places up in Pittsburgh area. And at least a couple of them down in North Carolina. Illinois still has a few shops. I don't know how many of them are really still making them. Most of the shops went to buying Mexican brooms and reselling them instead of making them. Most all of them are doing that to some extent. They may make a few of their better brooms and import the rest of them from Mexico. Mexico grows all the brooms for all, and they have an adequate supply of hams and, of course, cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the competition.
Yeah.
That,
I see that you have a lot of different stuff
I used to work a lot of arts and crafts.
Okay.
And that's the craft rooms. That's just a few left over from 40, 50 years ago.
Okay.
I used to have rooms in Smithsonian Institute.
Okay.
Anaheim Museum in Anaheim, California, which is a big museum, I'm told.
Okay.
I used to be pretty wise and school. And you know, say, I used to work a lot of arts and crafts. Bob Evans-Fine and Val Felice of Cedar Lakes, up at Ripley, I worked here for 17 years as special exhibitor up there, making rooms on the spot. And as well as a lot of other larger arts and crafts players.
Have you ever been contacted by, you know, someone needed a historical broom for a film or a museum project?
Yes, I've did it quite a few of those. Witches' rooms and different things of that type. Yeah, I made one or two for the local Dollar General across the street, but what is that? That's a shame. It's the art, it's the man who does the arts, the cars, the big cars, fancy cars, and has...
Play Center?
Yeah, Play Center. They're putting on the Harry Potter thing and the different things like that, and that comes in a few times. I don't remember the specifics. I don't really pay that much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just do what they, whatever they want. You know,
Did you ever make a map?
Yeah, I make maps all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a few years and million back there. It's made on the same machine.
Okay.
And
what kind of fiber do you use for it?
Well, it's, I use the old-fashioned fiber. It's about like this one here. It's just a white blend of polyester. And it's primarily cotton, but it has some of the same fabrics in it. It's the waste from textile mills that they redo. It's got one in Hamburg, Tennessee. That's where I buy mine. There's other outlets, but most of them don't want to sell me because I buy too small amounts. It gets down to that. Change
in how stores are buying.
Well, I can't really blame them. They gotta buy whatever they can present to the public, and will turn over faster. A good broom will last me anywhere from 1 to 5 years. These plastic brooms and these swishers and things that they clean the floors with, you know, will last me a few months. So the turnover is the difference. If you make a good product, it'll last for years.
Is there anything wrong
with that?
And that quick turnover?
Well, that quick turnover is what makes them go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got something that's turned over 100 in a year, and you're making 10 cents off of it, you've got one that lasts 5 years, and you're making a quarter off of it. For 10 cents, it's going to pay you more money. And keep turning over, keep people coming back. It's not that they just come back to the one room. They come back for over 5 years. They're coming back every few months. They buy a broom, they buy something else. That's the name of the game. You just keep them coming in and out of the door.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, not really, other than just the fact that the little things like this have been a great pleasure to me. The fact that it gives me a little notoriety out there and gets me a few groceries to stop by and visit. So, hey, I can come in and watch you make a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a pleasure of life. I'm not trying to make a living, I'm just trying to make a little extra money and spend my time. So if I spend my time demonstrating how to make a broom to somebody,
mm-hmm.
I'll make a nickel or so on the broom and I sell it, and then I have the pleasure of meeting and talking to a lot of good people.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'd love to.
Well, I might take a few more pictures if you don't mind.
Yeah.